Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I appreciate all of you coming to hang out with me, wherever you may be across the country, wherever you may be across the world. Yesterday, we had a Facebook outage, weren't able to do the show, so I decided to just punt, take a day off. I'll be on live television here in a little bit. Off the jump, I want to tell you, go to mybookie.net today, mybookie.net, and you can be well on your way to winning a bundle of money, $50,000 bracket challenge. If you sign up today, you'll be good to go. Use the code OUTKICK. Go to mybookie.net, go ahead and sign up, use the code OUTKICK. You can win $50,000, don't have to risk anything at all. That's mybookie.net, code OUTKICK. If you don't know how to spell that, that's OUTKICK. Get hooked up now with OutKick. All right, mybookie.net. All right, there is a lot to do here. Let's get through the rundown. I want to give you a heads up. As I head into the weekend, I'm about to hop a flight and head over to LA. I'll be doing the show Monday and Tuesday from LA. Then we are going to be in Vegas. We are going to be in Vegas, and it should be awesome. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from the MGM Sportsbook. If you want to get in for sure and be able to watch the show live, you probably are going to have to arrive at 1 o'clock Pacific at the MGM Sportsbook. You'll get the main MGM Grand Sportsbook. You'll get a pass, and you'll be able to come watch Lock It In live. Me, Cousin Sal, Rachel Bonetta, all of us will be live again. Go today to make sure that you write that down in your note. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, live show. Be the first time we've ever done live shows that people can watch. All right, a bunch of different things to get to. I am on Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns being the biggest trade in the NFL since Herschel Walker to the Vikings in 1989. I will explain why. Le'Veon Bell, one of the ultimate free agent disasters. We have not seen a running back get representation this bad since Master P negotiated Ricky Williams' first contract with the New Orleans Saints. Zion is back, as I have told you he would be. Kidding. Zion Williamson evidently prepared to play on Thursday night, tonight, for Duke against Syracuse. We'll see what exactly ends up happening there. An update on Will Wade, who is now demanding that he be allowed to coach for LSU. The drama builds on the number one seed in the SEC basketball tournament. And Tucker Carlson, I want to weigh in on the latest controversy there, but we begin with Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns. I think it's the biggest trade in the NFL since 1989. I love everything about this move by the Browns, okay? I like that they're giving up a first-round pick and a third-round pick, along with a safety, right? I love what they did to make a play here for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, I believe, has the potential to have a Patrick Mahomes-like second year when he's giving a full season of effort. Listen to this offensive weaponry that he will have around him. In the backfield, Nick Chubb, and people forget already that he's there, Kareem Hunt. How incredible is that duo at running back? I think it's the best running back duo in the NFL. I think Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry is the best duo at wide receiver in the NFL. That's not even counting Antonio Callaway, who showed a lot of promise as well. And then you have Njoku at tight end. Some of the ages here. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry are both 26. Baker Mayfield is 23. Njoku is 26. Kareem Hunt, 23. Nick Chubb, 23 years old. This team may not win the championship in the AFC North this year. They may not win a playoff game. They might not even make the playoffs, but they have set themselves up to have an incredible next 4 or 5 year window. I can't believe the Giants agreed to trade Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I somewhat understand it if they are just panicked and they believe they're going to face an Antonio Brown-like situation a year from now, and that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be demanding a trade and they don't want to get fleeced like we really saw the fleecing go on, a third and a fifth round pick in exchange for Antonio Brown. But I think if you look at the overall impact here, this has the potential to be one of the biggest trades, if not the biggest trade, since Herschel Walker back in 1989. There have been a lot of big-name guys get traded. You guys can share the name of the big-name guy who's been traded on Facebook or on Periscope here. Marshall Faulk from the Colts to the Rams was a massive trade, right? If you think about that historically. Brett Favre got traded for a second-rounder from the Atlanta Falcons, turned into a Hall of Fame top 5-10 quarterback, but that hadn't happened before. You've got lots of guys who have been moved for substantial prices over the years that have gone on to end up being fantastic players, but I'm not sure that anyone stands out any bigger here than what we've got right now with Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Colts. I love this trade. If I were wearing a hat, I would doff it in the direction of John Dorsey, the GM of the Cleveland Browns. I love making a big move here. I think it's the right move. I think he's going to fit in well with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield said sometimes he wakes up and feels dangerous. Well, he ought to be feeling really dangerous for this, I think. All right, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, I believe, has made one of the most disastrous decisions in the history of being an NFL running back. He turned down millions and millions of guaranteed contract money to make a lot less money, which is the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. All right, this is from Albert Breer. Here are the offers from the Steelers versus the Jets. Le'Veon Bell, disastrous decision in deciding not to take this money. In year one, the Steelers offered him $19.5 million. Jets offer $14.5 million. In year two, the Steelers offered a total of $33 million. The Jets' new deal with him will play a total of $26 million. In year three, the Steelers would have offered him $45 million. The Jets have now offered him, the deal that he signed, $39.5 million. He says, not much to argue here. Pittsburgh's offer was better. This is one of the most disastrous decisions I've seen an NFL player make from a financial perspective in a long time. It stuns me how many people out there don't understand the value of time and money. When Le'Veon Bell decided to sit out and not make any money at all last year, that means that guaranteed money-wise, he needed to approach $50 million guaranteed from his next team to make up for the fact that he set out for a year, okay? To make up for the fact that he set out for a whole year, he needed to make nearly $50 million in guaranteed money. He made $26 million in guaranteed money through the next 2 years. He will never recoup the money that he lost. This is such a colossally bad decision. There's only two ways that it ends up happening. One, let's take a step back. The agent had to be telling him, hey, you know what? I think that he should be able and should show up, right? I don't think there's any doubt that the agent representing Le'Veon Bell told him, hey, either take this Steelers deal, which gives you $33 million guaranteed, or sign your franchise tender, which will then make you a free agent next year, and we'll go get paid after that. Le'Veon chose not to do either. He gambled on himself. He thought that somebody was going to pay him a lot of money, and it didn't happen. It didn't materialize. This is an unmitigated disaster from a financial perspective. How does something like this happen? There's one of two ways that something like this happens, okay? The first way, and maybe this happened, is you choose not to listen to your agent because you believe you know better. The second way is you think that in addition to knowing better, you think that you are so worked up in your feelings that you don't want to let the other team win. Both of those are bad tools for negotiation. Le'Veon Bell, if he wants to maximize revenue, should have thought of himself as a business, not as an individual getting all worked up in his millennial feelings and being hurt by what the Steelers offer. Turns out the Steelers were willing to offer him more than any other team in the NFL, and instead, he didn't actually make the decision to roll out and make as much money as possible. Now, some people say, well, why do you care? Well, one, because he made it clear that the reason why he wasn't playing was because he felt disrespected based on the money that was offered to him. And so when you make the decision not to play based on the money that's being offered to you, sit out for a year and then take less, whatever logic you utilize to sit out has been fundamentally violated and broken, okay? Two, I think that people need to understand time value and money here. And the Bell's agent and everybody else tried to confuse people by focusing on the guaranteed money. And it turns out he didn't even get as much guaranteed money from the Jets as the reports had initially been. This is a bad idea. All right, this is advice for everybody out there. Know your value, but don't get all wrapped up in your feels. Businesses exist to try to make as much money as they possibly can. When businesses exist trying to make as much money as they possibly can, you can't be offended when they value you in a way that you don't think is adequate to be valuing you. Okay? So if you make a decision, that's fine. You can gamble on yourself. I've made decisions to take much less money guaranteed to be able to go out and make the money prove that I'm worth more money, right? But if you're wrong, it's a big swing and a miss. And Le'Veon, with a big swing and a miss here, this is the worst financial decision for a running back in the NFL in terms of a contract since Master P negotiated Ricky Williams' initial rookie contract with the New Orleans Saints. So Le'Veon is a disaster. And people out there who aren't smart enough, you say, oh, this amount of money makes me happy. Like somebody just said, $33 million makes me happy. First of all, I don't want to be after taxes guy, but if your goal is to make money, then you should want to make as much money as you possibly can. So you know what should make you more happy? $50 million than $33 million. This isn't even taken into account in being after taxes guy, but I'm going to have to be after taxes guy here. Le'Veon also moved from a state that I believe Pennsylvania has around a 3% state income tax to the state of New York, where he's going to pay a lot more in income tax. I think it's around 10%. And on top of that, here's Le'Veon Bell. He took less guaranteed money. He set out for a year and will never remake the money that he passed up on the front there. And as if that were not bad enough, he left one of the most legendary, iconic franchises in all of sports, which has a Hall of Fame quarterback, to go play for the New York Jets. Somebody tweeted me this and said, the way that Le'Veon handled his contract negotiation makes him a perfect member of the New York Jets. And I thought it is pretty phenomenal to break that down. Any questions about Le'Veon Bell? Because inevitably there are people out there and they're triggered and they're upset and they don't want to believe that players make bad moves. If you notice that, I tend to be almost always a person who looks at the facts and will render a judgment. Sometimes the player's in the right, sometimes the team's in the right, sometimes neither side is correct. Le'Veon Bell got dunked on by the NFL and every team in the NFL. And so this is a mess of the seismic degree. And as a result, this is an ugly, ugly look. Be facts guy is a good way of putting it. Don't be someone else. And also, running backs continue to be devalued in this league. I think that Le'Veon Bell, the success that James Conner had stepping in for him, definitely made a lot of people, again, if they hadn't already, continue to analyze the value of the running back position. And I think a guy we'll see in the NFL draft, Jalen Hurd, former Tennessee running back, got crushed for deciding a couple of years ago, you know what, I might project at a high level in at the running back position, but I have the skill set and the size to turn myself into a wide receiver. And as a result, Jalen Hurd transferred out of Tennessee and decided to go to Baylor and made himself into a receiver, changed his body type, got leaner, and had a really good year at Baylor at wide receiver. And he's likely to have made himself millions and millions more dollars in the long run than he would have if he had gotten drafted at running back. I salute him for being smart enough to think of that. I also think strategically he made a really good decision, and it looks like it's going to pay off for him And this Le'Veon Bell nonsense is just the latest example. By the way, I had Eddie George on the show a while back, and he said something interesting. He said, you know what, if I were going back in time, and if I had my exact same skill set and I was coming out now, I wouldn't play running back anymore. He said I'd be a tight end. I would work on my receiving skills, and I would try to turn myself into a tight end because you can play longer and you can make a lot more money as a tight end right now in the NFL than you can as a wide receiver, as a running back. And if one of the greats in the last 20 years at the running back position, a guy who won the Heisman Trophy and was a first-round pick and had a lot of success with the Titans is saying that, I think a lot of younger kids out there, it used to be that the running back was the glamour position, the one you wanted to play. I think running back is on the descension. Wide receiver continues to rise. It's on the ascension. And I think it's really pretty intriguing. All right, Zion. Zion is back. All right, I thought that maybe he was going to be held out. We'll see what happens tonight against Syracuse and what kind of success he can have on the floor. I remain very, very unconvinced that Zion and that anybody out there with Duke is going to have a great run in this tournament. Guy sits out 3 weeks, comes back. Guy sits out for 3 weeks, comes back, and is suddenly going to be phenomenal in the ACC tournament. I don't think so. I think Duke is trending towards a 2 seed. Wouldn't shock me if Syracuse plays them well tonight. I expect them to lose tomorrow to UNC. Will Wade update. Will Wade has come out now and said, I want to coach. I believe I should be able to coach going forward. And so this is, I think, really pretty intriguing what's going on here. Will Wade said, I'm ready to coach and LSU won't let me, trying to create some sort of LSU fan uproar even more so than has already existed. Here's the storyline, pretty straightforward. He said, I demand my due process rights. That's exactly what LSU offered him. LSU said, hey, we need you to come talk to us and tell us this story in order to remain eligible, refute these allegations that have been made about you being on an FBI wiretap making offers to Javonte Smart. Instead, Will Wade said, well, I want my due process rights. I don't want to talk to LSU because I've got this criminal trial where I've been subpoenaed coming up. And this is ludicrous because the due process is LSU offering to talk to him. Only in the stupidity of social media could someone release a statement saying, I'd like to have my due process rights, okay? I'd like to have my due process rights, but in the process, I need to be able to coach. Well, no, you don't. You need to comply with your employer. When your employer says, hey, there have been allegations of a substantial nature that you have violated your contract, you need to come in and talk to us. And you say no, and then you have the gall and temerity to release a statement saying you demand your due process rights. Now, legally, Will Wade is probably making a smart decision. He doesn't want to talk to LSU. He doesn't want to talk to the NCAA. He doesn't want to provide a statement that could be proven that he lied because he can be quizzed about it potentially when he's on the witness stand in a criminal trial testifying. I think Will Wade is going to have to take the Fifth Amendment on the stand in April at that trial. And when that happens, I think that will virtually render him unemployable in college basketball for years and years to come. And he will be fired with cause by LSU. I think he'll probably have to move to the NBA if he wants to continue to coach basketball. That's the Will Wade update. Finally, before I go, I'm about to be on television, hop on and do Lock It In for the next few minutes. But I want to dive in here with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson currently being looked into for comments he made on Bubba the Love Sponge's radio show like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever it was. We have got to stop, regardless of what your political orientation is. We've got to stop the brand of gotcha journalism which has taken over in this country. We don't debate people anymore based on their ideas. We try and destroy them individually, whether it's Republicans, whether it's Democrats. I, if you watch this show or listen to my show or read my site, have consistently defended people like Kevin Hart, like the director of the Guardians of the Galaxies movie, Everybody who is caught up in old stories and people decide this person shouldn't have this job because of something they said in the past. I disagree with it fundamentally. I've defended the Virginia governor. I defended the rights of Brett Kavanaugh. We can't turn this into a world where instead of disagreeing with somebody politically, we try and destroy them. This scorched earth gotcha journalism is a flaw and a stain on our nation's national discourse. All right? As a result, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, radical, moderate, whatever you are, everybody is trying to destroy you, not because they disagree with your opinion, because they could debate that and they could win or lose in a court of public opinion in the marketplace of ideas. They are trying to go after everybody and destroy him. Now, the group that's going after Tucker Carlson, their leader just got exposed. Their leader just got exposed as a hypocrite who has said things just as bad, if not worse, than Tucker Carlson has said. But going after other people for what they have done because they went after you is how this entire process gets started to begin with. Reasonable people, reasonable, smart people of all political persuasions need to acknowledge that gotcha journalism is a fail at the start. Because what it presumes on its face is that someone can never change, that we are all eternally defined by our worst moment that someone else can find, okay? And it also fails to ever consider context. Jokes told on the radio with a shock jock are different than the things that you might say on television, are different than the things that you might write in a book, are different than things that you might write or say anywhere else on a blog on the internet. Context matters. When you're on with a humor radio show host, you're not talking entirely in a serious manner. Satire matters. And it's not what you change on a tire. All right? Context matters. Satire matters. But more importantly, gotcha journalism needs to die regardless. Regardless of what percent of what side you're on, Republicans need to start repudiating it. Democrats need to start repudiating it. I don't want to live in a universe where because somebody sent a Snapchat message when they were 15 years old, now they're not suddenly able to be elected president 40 years later, right? I don't want to define anybody by what you consider to be their worst moment taken entirely out of context. Finally, Aunt Becky, $1 million bail for Aunt Becky for this college admission scandal. That's more than R. Kelly got for his sexual assault scandals. $1 million for buying her two daughters into USC, allegedly $500,000 total. University of Spoiled Children, her daughter, was on a yacht in the Bahamas on spring break that is owned by the billionaire chair of the USC Board of Trusts. She had to hop off, get on a plane, and fly back to LA. This is a crazy story. This is a wild story. But $1 million for Aunt Becky? Come on. Is she really that much of a flight risk? Are we really concerned that she and Uncle Jesse are going to go on the lam? $1 million bond because she paid for her daughters to get into USC. I don't condone the behavior. It was clearly an absurd plot. All of the universities which were dumb enough to allow this flaw in their admissions process to continue are partly to blame. But $1 million in bail, or else she would still be in jail? This is absolutely crazy. $1 million? Murderers sometimes don't get $1 million bail and bond. This is an unbelievable amount of money. Free Aunt Becky. I don't think that Danny Tanner would ever have approved of this, and certainly that little angel Michelle wouldn't have either. I appreciate all of you. I am rolling on now to do my TV show, FS1, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, 2:30 Mountain, 1:30 Pacific. We've 0-2 on starting the show on time on FS1 this week. Fingers crossed that we can get it right this week. Free Aunt Becky. My name is Clay Travis. This has been Outkick the Show. If you enjoy it, share it with your friends. I will talk to you guys later. Kisses. DBAP unless you need to SBAP. See y'all.